Yeah, we are moving forward with on the Reader News Bulletin. As I indicated, today we are joined by Mr. Alex Chimwafeni, who is the Statistician General of Namibia Statistic Agency, and the man that you see behind the wheel, especially when it comes to Namibia Census and also other developmental statistics, and also to look at coordination of national data. Mr. Alex, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the Reader.
Good afternoon, David, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's not every time that you get into conversation with the CEO of Namibia Statistic Agency, and also to look at the very topical issue, especially where you have a nation where the government is looking at business unusual. We want development, and also to look at we want to get into as a country, particularly looking at 2030. But just before we go to the main conversation, before we go to the main conversation of the day, maybe just a reflection on the development of Namibia statistics, how things have changed, especially in the context of statistics, and also the necessity of data-driven development, and then we can go into the context of it.
Yes, thank you for the question. I must say that the landscape of statistics in Namibia has really much evolved.
Yeah.
When the and that was also reflected in the strategic plans, the three strategic plans that we actually had for Namibia Statistics Agency when the institution was established by the Parliament, by the Act of Parliament, Act number 9 of 2011.
Yeah.
At the beginning, it was more to internally focused. The NSA was internally focused, setting up the whole institution, which was a transformation from National Planning Commission to a state-owned enterprise of Namibia Statistics Agency. And then once it was established, we had to put systems and processes in place.
Yeah.
And then once it was established, we needed to look outward in terms of having to advocate in terms of what the importance of statistics, what statistics is, what and the importance of statistics as well.
Yeah.
That we have achieved. And then the third strategic plan was more to be futuristic in terms of modernizing statistics. And we are getting there because that involves quite a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
The digital transformation is one of them.
Yeah.
But then it's and then also alternative data, it's also one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just go back on the advocacy first. I think at the beginning, the mentality maybe was that, statistics is nice to have, but with time, as time evolved, it also came out actually that we actually need statistics. It's not a nice to have for planning, for decision making, all those things.
Indeed. Now, let us look at the timely and coordinated statistics. We are planning, other countries are planning, but when you look at their websites, they already know how many they are. They are not estimating. They know what is needed within that month. I was looking at World Tourism, a barometer where you also have a gap in terms of some of the African countries. Namibia is also not yet there, not up to date with that tourism statistic, for example. We are always left behind. Now, let us look at the relationship between numbers-driven development. A politician can do a communication to say, I'm going to build 200,000 houses here if you vote me in the next 5 months. But from where you are standing as a statistician general, there are also things that you can say that, no, I think this is not practically possible unless this person have this quite information and all these things. Now, from where you are standing, do you really think the private sector and government are valuing the importance of timely and coordinated statistics and What has changed?
Yes. The answer to me is yes. And why I'm saying that is because these two sectors, the public sector and private sector, they do consult the NSA.
Yeah.
When they do planning,
yeah.
Or they want to do making decisions.
Mm.
Now, the example that you gave about somebody promising to do something or build how many schools or things like that, it depends on whether the person has got informed. That was a decision that was informed by information such as data.
Mm.
And sometimes it's also a matter of we need to be specific also.
Yeah.
This morning I read the article that says there's an oil company or so that will create a certain number of jobs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't get the chance to read the article.
Yeah.
But what was going to be interesting for me was going to know over what period of time will those jobs be created, over a year,
yeah.
6 months, 5 years or so.
Mm.
So when a person says, I'm going to do this, you need to find out also over what period of time.
Mm.
But to come back to statistics, our mandate really is to create an environment or an enabling environment in terms of planning, decision-making, policy-making. Mm-hmm. For example, policy or a decision that you make that you want to build a school.
Yeah.
Even gone are the days where we say in this constituency or there are so many people, yes, you can build a school, you can cater for some people.
Mm.
We have now added to say we can actually give you an exact location where you can build the school because we have a GIS and National Spatial Data Infrastructure department, which works with cartography, not just the physical cartographies, but the electronic ones, digital ones.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to tell you because we can draw a radius to say, if you put the school at this area, how many people exactly will be able, or the 5 kilometer radius policy that is there of children, how many of the children will be able to capture? That is what we do. And then all this information, you can get it for free.
Yeah.
Because we don't even have to get out of the office to go and measure. We have what we call a geoportal, which we call Digital Namibia, where you can sit in the office and then our technical colleagues will be able to draw that for you. So what we are saying is NSA is there for to create this environment that assists you to do planning. Now, we have seen also from the requests that we get from both government or public sector as well as private sector, we can deduce that they value statistics. Yeah, they do consult that.
Yeah.
And also, it's various statistics that are used. Yesterday, I spoke about one of the most used statistics is the inflation rate, where people use it more for looking at the cost of living, looking at increasing salaries. That is one of the statistics that is basically used. And it's used widely by both government and private sector.
Yeah, what we use mostly here is International Trade Statistic Bulletin. That one.
Yes,
that one. I think we have much interest into it, especially looking at trade. Now there is something that we see in Namibia that an institution can come up with a strategic plan. This is an institution that say no, by 2030 we are creating 30,000 jobs, and when you come after 5 years, everybody is looking at the other. Then you are asking yourself a person to say, where did you get this information? Now, before we go to the importance of monitoring and evaluation, maybe you should give us case studies of countries that developed using timely and accurate data. Because, for example, last year in the midterm budget review, there's a question which I ask, but nobody really wanted to answer. When the president came to power, she said institutions must work together. We are going to make sure that this is what is done. Monitoring and evaluation must be prioritized. But when the Minister, for example, of Finance gave a midterm budget review, we have around 11 green schemes, if I'm not mistaken. She only gave update of 3 green schemes. Then my question was, are the institutions that are not submitting their data, or is it skipped intentionally? Why can't we get that, even if it produces one potato, so that we can know where we can be able to improve? Let us start with case studies of countries that have valued statistics, and they are using statistics, even if those numbers are not, they are not welcomed.
Yes. Maybe a country I can think of is Norway.
Yeah.
Because we do have an agreement with them,
mm.
a cooperation of exchanging information, skills development, mm. Exposure. Mm. Norway is one of the countries that got a very good population register.
Yeah.
They can actually do a census
mm.
on a daily basis, or even every 10 minutes, because by pressing of buttons.
Okay.
Meaning that at any given time, they've got systems that are very much interlinked.
Yeah.
Every time they can want to find out any information, they will be able to extract that.
Mm.
And the reason is that they also have, from the beginning, they capture individual information.
Mm.
At birth, people already have ID numbers.
Okay.
And they track you. One of the questions I ask them when we, you know, frequent meetings that we normally have, yeah. I ask them, for example, the variable of education.
Yeah.
There should be a tracker in terms of, if I went and studied in South Africa
yeah.
and I come back and I didn't tell anyone,
mm.
no one might know.
Mm.
But for them, close to 100% of the people either study in the country
yeah.
or they study with the assistance of the government funding.
Mm, mm,
mm. And as a result, they will know
yeah.
where people are going. So yeah. Norway is very good at doing that
yeah.
In terms of, if you look at the kind of reports they produce,
mm.
then you will get to understand better.
Mm.
They really take statistics, the importance of statistics very, very, very seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, so almost everything they do, they base it on statistics.
Yeah.
So it's one of the countries.
Yeah, let us look at statistics and accountability.
Yes.
Somebody is given a directive by the president to say, mm. I want you to create this amount of jobs in agriculture, you in the mining, you in this. And there are certain targets. But after a certain period of time, you realize to say that there is quite a gap between what was said and also what is being delivered. Now, from where you are standing, let's look at, for example, NDP6. For now, until now, we do not have right information to say how many jobs, for example, were created out of the target of 500,000. From where you are standing, how do you? What is a better way of? What is a better way of tracking the progress of NDP6 and where is finance really should be invested, especially if we want to know if our national development plan is working or is not working?
Yeah. Just to start off by tracking.
Yeah.
Tracking is one thing, but execution is another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can track to say NDP6 have got this specific target.
Yeah.
You can track to say, are we reaching the target or not?
Yeah.
But that is just tracking.
Yeah, yeah.
But what is most important is actually the execution thereof.
Mm, 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 mm.
And the execution thereof, most of the time, if not all of the time, is linked to a budget.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Funds that goes must go in there.
Mm.
So if the funds are not there, you will not be able to move.
Mm, mm, mm.
So the tracking will also be giving you the same thing to say, we are still at this point because the funds are not there.
Yeah.
There are other aspects maybe that if you're talking about service delivery, those fine. You will track and then you'll be able to also measure the increase of the service levels.
Yeah.
Now it goes back to the others. Now that I spoke about that, in this funding, and you know that funds is not a it's a finite commodity.
Yeah.
It's not infinite.
Yeah,
and then also at the same time you also have different priorities.
Yeah.
Now when we're doing census,
yeah,
the 2023 census, we're supposed to do it in 2021.
Okay,
and then our principals were saying, look, we still have remnants of COVID.
Okay.
So what we are saying, is that, and I was in agreement with that to say that, do we need to get money to go count people while the money could be used to save people from dying from COVID? So those competing priorities normally are there.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of really having to prioritize in terms of funding different priorities.
Yeah.
And I think the prioritization also comes in terms of some of the things can actually, the priority can be moved, shifted forward, and others can come.
No, I want to ask you a question, especially looking at 2023 census, right?
Yes.
From where you are standing and also looking at colleagues in the industry, if you go, for example, at SANDEC meeting or you go to even international meetings, from where you are standing, do you think making decision based on 2023 census can solve Namibian problems, or we are already late?
Okay, let me just ask you a counter question.
Yeah.
Will you rather use 2023 census data or will you use 2011 census data? So the recency there. So it's better to use the latest one, which is 2023.
Yeah.
It is a very good question.
Yeah.
But if you are a country like Norway, they can afford to do census every year because of the systems they have, population register. The setup of a country also is not like Namibia, where rural is maybe accessible rural.
Yeah.
Maybe people there have got access to roads, telephones, and so on. But census, why is also done every 10 years?
Yeah.
It's because it's a very complex project
or
exercise and also very costly. There are countries amongst our neighbors who started off by having an act that says they want to do the census every 5 years.
Yeah.
It never happened.
And
the reason is because of what I've just said.
Yeah.
It's complex. It's also very costly.
Mm-hmm.
So you need also time to prepare for that.
Mm.
Now, the question that you ask, whether is it fine to use 2023?
No, do you think, no, I wanted to say, do you think we can solve problems with 2023 information as we are speaking?
The short answer is yes.
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying is that, first of all, it's better than using 10 years back data or more than 10 years, 2011.
Yeah.
And then also on top of that, what we normally do also is when we have now the census data, we also do population projections.
Mm-hmm.
So from those projections, every year you can update your plans.
Yeah.
And yes, because at the end of the day, if you want to do census every year, that those funds that you are using can actually be used to cater for other priorities.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed now to try to have a perfect world of counting, are we really 3 million 22,401 or are we 3 million point 1 3 or something like that?
Mm.
Yeah. So but what it gives you a picture of the population, especially with the projections that are coming up. You will definitely be able to use them for planning purposes.
Yeah, let us look at the usage of statistics. Jim Debrake, if I'm not mistaken, the deputy director for statistics at IMF, yesterday he gave a very good presentation, especially at Statistics Awareness Day. One of the things that he stated is that public leaders must be able to use statistics, even if they are not sounding good, if I have to put it that way. Now, do you think there is something that we need to do, especially when it comes to data reporting or statistical communication? I'm saying this because I attend a lot of events, and it's not only Bank of Namibia, but other financial sectors too. But when you are listening to this presentation, even if the domestic economic growth did not grow above or within its target, the words are so good. You can only see that when you come back and you read between the lines to say, no, I think we are not doing very well. Do you think there is something that we need to do to say, guys, we really need to work hard because numbers are not moving very well? We want to speak about diversification, but when I read the international trade bulletin every time, we still have our top minerals, which are still raw. And you're asking yourself a question to say, are we looking at the numbers or we are not communicating the number properly? Can we speak about data communication?
Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's a good question. It's a good question. But yeah. Maybe what I need to bring out also is that when we release data, I'm the one who's tasked to do that, the policy, the access also that we need to release data impartially, everyone getting it at the same time. Oh. And from best practices is that the head of the institution is the one who releases data.
Yeah.
So when we release the data, we need to be very much neutral as possible. Whether the economy grew by 1.7%, like in 2025, or by 8%, exaggerating, I still need to have my emotions intact.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot show to be very much disappointed because maybe there's even a contraction in the economy.
Yeah.
Or when maybe there is a very high growth.
Yeah.
To be excited or what if you.
Yeah.
First of all, it could be short-lived.
Yeah.
But not only that, it's almost like giving a commentary on maybe not commentary, but you now attaching emotions to the figures.
Mm.
Our job really is to bring out what is out there.
Yeah.
Now, what is good for you is maybe not good for the other person, and what is bad for the other person maybe is not bad for you.
Yeah.
So we are not really judging. We give information to say this is the lowest growth maybe in the last 5 years or something like that.
Mm.
But other than that, it's not really a job to say. For a typical example, the economy declined by -8% during COVID. So it's not really for me to be out there like, wow, look at this or ish. It's really for everybody to know. What we need to do, we need to educate people. For example, we can say this is the biggest negative growth ever in the country.
Yeah.
And we explained that COVID had to play a role and so on.
Yeah.
Now, to go back to in terms of how well the states are or how bad they are,
yeah,
I think it's really what I've also explained yesterday at the seminar, to say that we need to look at statistics more like a guiding tool.
Yeah.
For example, if you have a child in school, if a child pass well, 80%, 90%, you don't want to leave it there also.
Yeah.
You want to encourage your child to either maintain the score or to improve. Most of people need to maintain, because if they go down, then it's also not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same when the child has failed. You need to encourage and you need to concentrate to say, if I need study guides, which area and all these kind of things. So, the emotions of statistics, that is really what I needed to see.
I gave an example of not only the central bank, but can I call you a custodian of Namibian statistics, if I have to put it that way? But if you are sitting out there and you are listening to a monetary policy statement, you can read between the lines because you deal with numbers. But for an ordinary person to say, I think the economy will maybe come tomorrow, things maybe will come, because the way even there, I do not know, because what we want to see is that is this message really being heard with agency, so that if you say you need fundings of getting out the way the numbers are and how to make a statistical decision, maybe politicians can hear. But are they listening to the data? Because a decision made on data can improve the next, whether you have external factor or not, a decision made based on data can always improve the outcome. In most cases, the outcome of what happened. Mm. But if we are just moving from 5 to 4 to 3, you're asking a question to say, is a communication a problem or there is no agency in that communication? That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I don't think that it will be really, it's a challenge with the communication.
Yeah.
I think it just goes down to what I've said in terms of either sensationalizing the outcome or attaching emotions to that. So, you know, we are professionals. We also don't want to give a wrong message.
Yeah,
I know you are saying maybe that we must say, or rather what I'm hearing from you is we must say that
we recommend.
We must say, no, the recommendations are always there.
Say that
this is maybe the lowest. Or the highest and things like that.
Mm.
But yeah, unfortunately, it's one of those things. Imagine yourself if you have to read this in the report.
Mm.
It's really up to you to say what you are reading.
Uh-huh.
Because if you're talking about, you remember some of the statistics. For every statistic, sometimes there's an advantage to somebody and a disadvantage.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, if you talk about high inflation, people who are giving loans, maybe they will benefit out of that because the repo rate might go up as well as then the prime rate, prime lending rate.
Yeah.
So people who are selling goods, they will have to increase their prices, but you who's paying your value of your dollar is now has been reduced. So really we have done the advocacy of the importance of statistics.
Mm.
We try to disseminate statistics like I'm doing now.
Yeah.
When I'm having this interview.
Mm.
Other than that, really we cannot now start dramatizing things and all this.
So yeah.
I think the analyst will also come and tell you that this is what it is.
Yeah.
These are the challenges.
Yeah.
These are the prospects.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe I need to be assisted in terms of how else can we, like you ask, how else can we now make sure that the message is heard?
Yeah.
Yes. Is it a matter of maybe repeating it? Is it a matter of... one of the things we have done is that when we do media releases, we also, apart from inviting the journalists, we also invite the analysts, so that when the journalists ask their questions also, you don't have to go out of the media release and then go look for an analyst to come and give comments. It can be done at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that we do, so that they can break it down also for the people.
No, thank you for clarifying that. Before we look at the future and where we want to see Namibia statistics, there is an aspect of institutions are not giving their data.
Mm.
You know, it was not really good, especially last year, especially after public-private sector forum engagement, where after that forum, the president stayed there for 2 days. Then she made an executive decision to say, from now on, institutions they are going to coordinate monitoring and evaluation must be made, a priority.
Mm.
Now, at the end of the year, the DG of NPC was asked to say, now, how many jobs did we create out of 500? Said, no, there is no, people are not submitting their information. Now, from where you are standing, do we have any law that compels institutions to make sure that they submit their information, especially for developmental reporting? The government may be doing well at some point, but if I'm not submitting my data, if green schemes are not giving, we are not going to blame the Minister of Finance for presenting only three green schemes.
Mm.
But from where you are standing, do we have any law that says that reporting, this is what needs to happen? If not, maybe there's punitive measures, or is just voluntary?
Yes, there are punitive measures.
Yeah.
The Act is very clear that if you are requested information and you are refusing, the punitive measures are that you can be fined $50,000
okay,
or 5 years in prison or both.
Okay.
But then we also say that we want people to voluntarily provide information, meaning that we don't want you to, we don't want to force you to provide information.
Mm.
Out of your own will, we want you to be providing this information. Mm. The other thing is also a matter of having to have good relationship with the data providers.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you don't want people to provide just for the sake of providing.
Mm-hmm.
It can also make your job very difficult because if a person say, if you come and ask the company, how many jobs did you create?
Mm-hmm.
And they can also play ignorance and say, look, I'm not so sure what you are saying, but this is all the information that I have.
Okay.
Now you must go and sieve it out and so on.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you can come up with definitions and say what it is.
Uh-huh.
So, but what happened is that it's also a collaboration that needs to be there between the data provider and us. We are requesting for the data as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because sometimes I can have all the reasons of not giving.
Yeah.
Just because I feel you are forcing me.
Yeah.
But what we are saying, the approach is that we rather make it clear to the people and explain to the people the advantages that they are also standing, that they are also standing to gain in terms of providing this information. And I'm saying that this information can benefit anyone, an individual who wants to get service from government, a business person who wants to know where their clients are.
Mm.
So it needs to be really in a cordial manner.
Yeah. Yeah. Just two more questions before I release you. We have been here for 41 minutes. And let's just look at one more question, especially the important one, the one of fundings. If somebody has to ask you to say, I don't want to say how much do you need? That is not the right question. But looking at yesterday's presentation, one must really say that the financial institutions such as Bank of Namibia, they have proven their point that statistics is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Your presentation was good. IMF has also proven that you cannot develop without measuring where you are going.
Mm-hmm.
And you must cite statistics even if you feel that they are not on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two questions about finance. We know there are a lot of priorities. But if you have to change the way we do things, you spoke about data transformation and many other things that are needed. How much or how to, what shortage of resources NSA has to make sure that it's up to date and also to make sure that it's at the standard where Namibia want to get into? Because I wanted this to correct. Let's just go to a short commercial break and come back shortly.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kilograms of Surf hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On The Radar News Bulletin. As I indicated today, we are with SG of Namibia Statistics Agency. We are not letting him go, but we have two more questions, especially looking at data-driven development. SG, just to look at resources lacking. We know finance is always not enough. But reading between the lines from yesterday's presentation, where I was standing, I see that these institutions, they need help. Just looking at how things are. From where you are standing, how much or what other resources that are needed to perfect and transform Namibia statistics, and maybe what modern things that we need to do to accelerate, up-to-date and accurate information, because we are moving in the world of AI and, robotics. But when you say 2023, a lot of things have changed. We have a lot of our sisters from Angola and the brothers are in the street. You don't even know how many we are in Namibia now. what other resources maybe are needed to accelerate this? And also, how do championing assistance in terms of accurate data should be taken in Namibia? And what other players maybe can come in, especially to assist in that area?
Yes. The matter of resources that are required, we need financial resources. We have the skills in the institution, but with skills, as technology evolves, you also need to upgrade in order to be aligned with the needs, the technological needs.
Yeah.
And the modernization of statistics.
Yeah.
Then I think you went to ask a question of how much resources we need, financial resources. And the answer to that is that we have different types of projects that are taking place.
Yeah.
For example, the census is the biggest project that you can have.
Yeah.
They call it, for each country, is the biggest peacetime project in any country. Talking about peacetime, war can be bigger.
Okay.
Talking about peacetime.
Yeah.
That's got a different funding.
Yeah.
Or requirement, funding requirement.
Yeah.
It's the highest. Then you find some national surveys that are also the highest, higher budget. We're talking about whether it's a labor force survey, whether it's demographic and health survey, which is now currently to be done by the Ministry of Health with our assistance, of course. We talk about agricultural census that needs to be done also, that costs more money. And maybe just to talk about figures, the agricultural census itself, we are talking about in the vicinity of 120 million.
Okay.
I like to always mention that, just to give a view, a picture of where this money go to.
Yeah.
The majority of the money goes to the enumerators.
So creating employment.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's creating employment. The enumerators, they need to be trained. When you train them, you need to give them training allowance.
Yeah.
You need to feed them. You need to pay for facilities. You need to pay for trainers.
Yeah.
Even if it's internal trainers, you need to pay them allowances, especially if they go out of town. Then when they go to the field, you need to pay them a salary on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And then you also need to give them what they call a field allowance.
Okay.
Some of them, they work in those rural areas. They don't have anywhere to sleep also. So that's where the bulk of the information goes. Then you will have things like licenses to store the data. There's additional licenses from what you have, because the capacity needed or the capacity required will now have grown also.
Yeah.
So that's where the majority of it goes. And then we also have equipment. We talk about the household income and expenditure survey that we have done over 12 months. There was a time where it was also rainy season.
Yeah.
You needed to get them special equipment, whether it's gumboots or what have you, to go to various places. So that's now the in the in the in, in
breaking it
monetary
down.
Terms, how much is required. Now, the financial resources are also linked to other things, because with the financial, if you want to employ more people, it's also linked to finances. Because the challenges we have also, because people ask if the Statistics Act allows for the statistics agency to do commissioned work, work for pay, basically. Why do we not do that? It's not that straightforward, because what you need to do is also, if you take up a project, the project needs also to be meant. People with the required skills need to be on there also. Now we find that the same people that are supposed to do the commercial projects are the ones that are also supposed to do, if you call it national projects, of which we are mandated to do. And our priority is only about the mandate.
Indeed. Yeah, just 2 minutes to conclude. 2 minutes to conclude is institutional coordination. There is always a report, even continental report. You look at APRM, you say, no, Namibia is doing well, except that people are doing things on their own. There is just that recommendation that's coming out to say, no, institutions must work together toward that. In terms of statistics, how are you planning to improve institutional coordination and also moving forward, especially working on bigger projects? Just 1 minute due to time.
Yeah. No, we do have a department. Of data quality assurance and national statistical system coordination. It's for that coordination aspect where we engage the other data collectors also, because it's not only the Namibia Statistics Agency that collects data. So, and how we coordinate this, we even ask people at the beginning of the year, beginning of the financial year, to say, oh, before we enter the financial year, to find out what are the surveys that they are planning to do. And that coordination is important, because you can also save funds or be more efficient if you bring together two or more institutions that want to do a survey. It can be multi-topic survey. It can be on, for example, health, education, and something else. Then we can say, you send out maybe the same team that can go out, and then you can save on significantly on some of the costs that are out there. So, yes, we have what we call a national statistical system, the NSS, which are all the producers of statistics, all the users of statistics, academia, researchers. That NSS is very important, because it also avoids duplication. Because you don't want to have somebody doing almost the same thing with the other one in the same region. And we try to keep them always engaged. For example, end of June, the last region that we're engaging with what we call the NSDS, which is the National Strategy for Development of Statistics, it was COMAS. We engage them so that, and we also look at their capacity in terms of collecting data, storing data, processing data. By doing that, we also look at things like, what equipment do they have? Do we have the right equipment? We don't want a person processing data, but maybe a simple data set, not simple, but a small data set. It might take a person half an hour, an hour, while it needs to be processed faster. Yeah, so that coordination is definitely there. It just needs to be strengthened.
Yes, SG. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you for joining us, and also to clarify, and especially the necessity of funding, statistics, and also data-driven development. You did the justice, and we'll continue to call you, especially to look at the numbers, and we are waiting for International Trade Bulletin. That one, we don't miss it, and also many other statistical report. But thank you for joining us, and also thank you for taking your time.
Thank you, too.
All right. Okay. Yeah, let us look at from SG of NSA. We are moving forward. We are looking at the update, especially looking at Namibian teams at the Commonwealth Games. How are the Namibian teams performing, particularly at the Commonwealth Game? We are looking at Joseph Amakari, Chief de Mission for Namibia at Commonwealth Games. Then we'll be able to conclude.
Well, the overall atmosphere of Team Namibia here in Glasgow, Scotland, at the Commonwealth Youth Games, you know, the atmosphere is just superb. It's superb is all I can say. And this one, I think the results and the performance speak for itself. You have seen so many Namibian records have been broken, most especially at the swimming. We have seen our artistic gymnastic team, what they have done. These girls have put up a tremendous show, and now we have our boxers as well. Try again, Develo. You have seen what he has done. We have Philip Hauseb. These boys are doing great. Sadly, two of our boxers, that is Petrus Kotze and Gebhard Dipinge, they have lost their competitions. So, but you know, irrespective, they have really put up a good show. And what I think a takeoff for me is what they have said. And this morning I had a chat with Gebhard Dipinge, and he said, "Look, this was a stepping stone for me. It's an experience that I'm building on, and now that I'm out of competition, mine is to continue supporting those that are in competition." And you see, as a young boy or young man talking like that, for me, it's something that really speaks volume. So we are yet to see Misha Arais, our girl child in boxing, to see what she is going to do. The likes of our own very Ananias Shikongo with his guide, Evan Shibiu, they are still in competition. We have Lionel Kutie, who is also still in competition. And we are just, I think the Namibian nation should just rally behind the team. It's just wonderful. It's a wonderful experience for our athletes. And I think as also sport leaders, we need to ensure that we continue supporting these athletes so that then they participate at these type of levels. Because, you know, we have quite a large number of them that it's for the first time they are competing at this level. And, you know, really what they have done, I'm so proud. I'm so proud. And I just want really to thank the Namibians at back home for the support. It's normal for us as spectators or supporters when we always want a victory, and we are seeing some negative comments. But, you know, being in sport, one have to understand people don't say these things because they just want to say. It's because they wanted something better, and that in itself also it's we take it as a criticism, a positive criticism, and we are happy. So, but overall, we are receiving a lot of calls, be it the athletes themselves receiving a lot of good comments and you know, words of encouragement. I think that is really good.
Efiloshisho utalikulandula kona vewayuk. Ekwashili palekolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mo NHB. Watupa teleko meshwe kwashili palekolo fika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo danamibia. Moshi yoshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filoshisho lopa ulumo mumbu. Kwa voveli ponje yoshilongo, shijoshi topo rwasho ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis mwule omenute dishonailela, lishangifako nhp.com.na omanga ino ya morwendo. Ponjeo Shilongo. Mangono malandula fano, odo dino kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
I think that is really good, and we are also happy that Her Excellency the President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah also reached out to the team, and she has also encouraged the athletes to continue doing what they are doing. Them reaching at this level, it's in itself it's an achievement, and we just really need to celebrate that. So we will see how others will perform, and we will continue supporting them. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was an update from Joseph Amakali, Chief de Mission at Commonwealth Games, 2023-2026 Commonwealth Games. They are taking place at Glasgow in Scotland. 23 July to the 2nd of August. And also to give us update to say Namibian teams are performing well. And there are also those who need our support. And just continue looking at the updates. But also to look at athletes and para-athletes. You have a lot of team. You have a team and the athletes all together. They are 23. You also have Anania Shikongo is there. You have even Jiuji. We have also Lionel Kutsie and many and Charles Matundu. When you look at boxing, you have Mika Monique, you have Philip Pumulo, you have also many other players or many other boxers such as Tonateni Ipinge, Petrus Jacobs, and also Try Again Morning Develo. And also have gymnastics and bowls and also swimming. But what is indicated that Namibia is also playing a role at Commonwealth game that is happening in Scotland. And we are expecting goals to come and also to have a brilliant performance. From me, David Shombe, this will bring us to the end of On the Radar News Bulletin. Bye-bye for now. See you around. I'll leave you in the good hands of Peniambeko Jonas from Ondangwa to look at Ohundana Dengue. Bye-bye and see you around.